Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the February 10th Woodway City Council meeting. I want to welcome all of you here tonight. Thank you for coming out. It got cold again. Last week was a nice little teaser, but we're back in cold weather. The time now is 5:31, so I'll open the meeting at this time. We always like to start our meeting with a prayer, so I would like to ask Councilwoman Gilman if you wouldn't mind leading us in our invocation this evening.
You bow your heads with me. Father, in your word it says to enter your presence and with praise and thanksgiving, and we praise you and thank you for the great country and the state and the city that we live in. You have said to pray for those in authority over us, and Lord, we lift those in this great nation that are making decisions and give them, we ask you to give them your wisdom for the good of all. Where there is unrest, give peace. Where there is confusion, give direction and bring order. Help us tonight also come together in unity and oneness of purpose. Give us listening ears and humble hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Mrs. Gilman. At this time, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Moving into our public comment time, the City Council would like to invite citizens or guests to address the Council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments that are related to the public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. The timer is on the screen behind us here. The Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not on the agenda. We ask that when you're called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, we ask that you please state that item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your cooperation and understanding. Okay, at this time, if there's anybody who would like to address Council, I'd like to welcome you to the podium, please.
Nobody?
All right. Yes, sir, if we can get your name, please.
Bruce Hamlin, Wandering Trail, Lake Forest. And so basically, just wanted to jump into the meeting tonight to see if I knew what an escarpment was. And so that's one. But number two, I'm still, my pet peeve project is homestead and homeowner exemption. So as an old guy, I'm thrilled and happy to have one of those and have my taxes, school taxes, frozen. I lived in unincorporated Harris County for 30 years, okay? And we didn't have a police force. We didn't have all you brain trust of volunteers here to, you know, we had, you know, constables and garbage trucks and stuff. But we did have a homeowner's exemption for everybody. And I wonder why. So somebody that lives here that's in their 30s, 40s, 50s, on a general homestead exemption, we could do what the Austin wants us to do, is fight the appraisal district with those values by the homestead exemption. So the $40,000 one has been out there for years. Well, last year they raised that to $100,000. We don't have to give any or all of it, but for years we've never had one, so we're not giving anybody any of that money to get reduced out the value of your. So all I'm asking is the city to address it or tell us why not. Does everybody get a homestead exemption? So the old people, we got our share of the pie, but the rest of you people don't. So let's find out why we can't go after that. That's all.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody else? All right. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number four. These are presentation. Tonight we have the quarterly presentation from the Finance Department So I'm going to pass it over to Ms. Hernandez, Finance Director. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So as you mentioned, I'm here tonight to present the quarterly financial report. This is for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2024. So we'll look at comparative numbers and budget to actual for the general, utility, tourism, and the Carling Bright Arboretum Operations Fund. Maybe. Donna, you got me? Space bar? There you go. That's a pretty picture. Okay, this first slide is the general fund revenues collections broken down by major categories. So for property taxes, we did see an increase of about 38,000 of collections, and this is due to the added values to our tax roll and then the way we allocated the M&O rate this year between the general fund and the future street improvements. Compared to last year, it was allocated to those two as well as long-term capital projects. Sales tax, franchise, and other fees were consistent as far as collections. I do want to point to other revenue because although the dollar value was consistent, the makeup is different this year. So as y'all recall, Midway created their own police department, so we don't have that revenue anymore. And then we also did receive a grant last year from McLennan County that we did not get this year. However, we made up for that in three areas. We did see an increase in permits and service charges, and as well as an increase in family center revenue because the new building was open this quarter and it was not the previous quarter. Next, we have budget to actual. So with property taxes being due January 31st, we've historically collected about half within the first 3 months of the year. So we're on track at 49%. Sales tax 3 months of the year at 26%, that's where we like to see it. Franchise tax is only at 4%. Last year we're at 3%. This is due to Atmos paying once a year in March and then Encore paying in the summer. So the next time I present, we should see more collections there. And then other revenue is consistent, 22% at this point in time, and at last year we were also at 22%. Next is the general fund expenditures. General government is made up of city secretary, admin, finance, and non-departmental. We did see a $38,000 increase. This part of this is because of my department was fully staffed this quarter compared to last year. We had a vacancy in the HR manager position for 2 months. And then for non-departmental, there were expenses in the current year that were not present in the prior year, such as our lovely recording device that's live streaming me on YouTube, as well as the Rick Hayes professional fees that were not present last year. Public safety saw a decrease of $35,000, which correlates in their decrease of their budget as we did not have those SROs. Community services as parks, streets, public buildings, and inspections, those are consistent. And community programs did see a $44,000 increase. Now that's Family Center, Youth Commission, and the 84 mowing. And that's due to the opening of the new center, which incurred additional costs in personnel, insurance, utilities, and contract labor that were not present last year. So for budget to actual on the next slide, being 3 months in, I want to see them at 25%. They're right at 23-24%, so there's no concerns there. We'll switch to the utility fund revenue. For water charges, we did see a $287,000 increase in revenue collected. Now, there are three factors to this bump in revenue. One is that we do have more water customers, about up 1.5%. We did increase rates effective October 1st. And then third, we did see a $46 million gallon increase in consumption these first 3 months of the year compared to last year. Sewer charges were similar. The increase in the count and the increase in the fees factored into a $30,000 increase in revenue. And then other income is up $51,000 this year compared to last year's $6,000. Other income is miscellaneous and interest. We did get a $39,000 refund from City of Waco for WMARS, and that wasn't accounted for, so that's why you'll see that bump there. And then on the expense side of it, we saw a $215,000 decrease in expenses in the water service. As you recall, last year, we incurred significant repair and maintenance costs with three wells being offline in the first quarter of 24, which led to us purchasing more water from the city of Waco. Now this quarter, luckily we've only had one well that's had issues, and that one's being repaired and all the others are operational. So overall decrease in expenses there. Sewer service, WMRs is the biggest component of this charge, and we saw a decrease in that, which fluctuates from month to month depending on flowage. And then customer service is consistent. There's a slight $15,000 increase, which correlates with the increase in budget. Next, we have the budget to actual water and sewer service charges for revenue are right where I want to see them, right at 25%. Other income, that's for that WMRS refund. Don't let the 152% fool you. That's only about $51,000. On the other side of that, for the bottom is the expenses. Water service and customer service are right at 24-25%. And then sewer service, that's where that WMRS fluctuation is impacting it. But it all due to timing. So I expect that to be closer to 50% the next time you see me in April. Next, we have the utility fund income statement. This is page 9 of your report. I started including this into my slideshow last fiscal year when the fund was operating at a deficit. So in the right-hand column, you could see at fiscal year 24, this point in time, we're at a overall decrease in net position of, it's cut off on the slide, but here I can see it, $264,875 compared to the 12/31/24, we're at a positive increase in net position of $362,864. Now, the revenue with the number of customers, increase in rates, as well as the consumption and the lower expenses led to this. This is a fund we're monitoring closely, as last year was not self-supporting, so we are keeping an eye on this, honestly, on a daily basis. Next, we have tourism. Revenues are down there, $35,000 decrease. We're at $199,000, and last year we're at $234,000. This is just based on timing. They self-report. It's on an honor system, and those fluctuate from year to year. And expenditures, on the other hand, is $16,000 more this year than last year, which correlates with the increase in their budget. As far as budget to actual, I had to use a picture from Discover Woodway's event. The kid was too cute not to include in my presentation, but very merry Woodway Christmas. Tourism fund helps fund that. We're at 20% of revenues. Last year we were right at 26, and then expenses are at 6%, which is consistent to where we were last year, right at 6%. Next slide is the Carling Bright operations. As y'all recall, last year I began separating it from the general fund into its own operating fund beginning in October 1st, 23. I did include it in the past in this report, but it wasn't in my presentation until today. But I figured it was worth looking at. So revenues are consistent, right around $33,000. And then expenses are up, but it correlates with the increase in that budget. And then budget to actual, I threw some pictures because I figured I got to keep y'all's attention. Look at this pretty arboretum grounds and the pavilion. Pavilion's right where we want them to be at 25%, and then the arboretum's right at 28%. We're keeping an eye on that department. And last but not least, investments at 12/31/24. This shows the $11.7 million investments we have. Most of this should look familiar, 1.5 as a CD. Texpool's at 2.5, Techstar, this is the bond monies, that's at 5.7. The one I want to point out is Logic. As y'all recall, I opened that account last year with y'all's blessing, and at the end of December, I transferred $2,049,000 into that fund to track long-term capital projects separately. What this report does not include is the liquid 12.2 money market account that sweeps every night with our operating account that earned $142,839 in Q1 of fiscal year 25. So that brings a grand total of interest for the first quarter to $245,296, which is actually a decrease from last year's $343,601. Now, this decrease is twofold. The Fed funds rate has decreased from end of 2023 to the end of 2024. And also, our investment, as the family center completed and the bond money was used, and as the sewer project continues, our overall balance from 12/31/23 was $29.4 million versus here it's $24 million. So lower rates and lower balances. But overall, still almost $250,000 in just interest. And I think that's it for me, unless y'all have any questions, comments, concerns. There's my team. Figured I'd keep them in there.
The utility rate or utility fund last year, we was upside down by, what was it, 800,000 or something? Is that correct? Or
by year end, yes, approximately 800,000.
But it looks like you've brought back 300,000 in this quarter. Is that correct?
At this point in time, yes, sir.
Okay. So we're making great strides on that and could be seeing this being back level within 12 months or so. Does that sound about right, or is that what you're thinking? Or I know it depends on the water usage and everything else, and if we don't have any water pumps now. Mm-hmm. But is that about where
yeah,
we're projecting?
We're projecting to continue to be self-supporting, but
But what I'm saying is to get us back where we're neutral, not upside down on that fund.
Oh, sure. Yes, sir.
You're thinking probably about 12 months from now, roughly? Because that was kind of when we went up on the rate, that was kind of what I was thinking at the time, that we'd be somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking, but we'll see as it goes from month to month.
Well, like you said, well, when wells go down, it gets costly.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're talking about the water.
Correct.
The water situation.
Utility.
So
yes.
I'm really happy to see that this is big improvement from what we were expecting. I mean, the rates going up and also the 65 million gallons increase.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that. So that's a big answer to prayer right there. That's gonna help us out a lot with that deficit. I already see that it's been reduced quite a bit. So I just wanted to comment that I'm very very happy to see that.
Yeah, it's Mitch's team doing all the work.
Yeah.
Just keeping track of the numbers.
No, great job. Great job. And you're watching it. I know you said you're watching it daily. Just keep bringing us updates because I do think we need to, you know, get updates on that. I think about it all the time just because I don't want that to get out of control.
Yes, sir. I send out a monthly budget report, and I give a summary of that to Mitch and Adam on a monthly basis.
Awesome.
So I can start including at least the total dollar value.
Yeah,
to y'all.
Really, for me, I'm very interested in the water rates. So
sure.
I'd love to see that.
Okay. Anything else?
Anything else?
Great
counsel?
Work.
All right. Thank you.
Great job, Brenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's really encouraging. I'm really happy about that. Okay, thank you, Ms. Hernandez. We're moving on to item number 5. This is discussion and consider action on acceptance of an escarpment plan for EHM addition PUD. I need a motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, if you could present number 5, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As a part of the plat process, some subdivisions are required to submit an escarpment development plan. David Merrick, professional engineer with STV, has submitted an escarpment plan for EHM addition for approval. City staff have reviewed this submittal and are recommending approval. That doesn't tell you much in the background here, but essentially it's plus or minus 8 acres. The gentleman that made the submission has a plan for one home, private residence. This used to be a planning and zoning only function. I think when this escarpment ordinance was updated a while ago,
mm-hmm.
It now comes to council because council asked to see that as well. STV has ID'd the escarpment zone per the ordinance and established a no build line, which is the green portion that you see in your...
Page 22.
Yes. of your package.
It looks like it's at the top of the land.
Oh, yeah. Mine's turned another way.
Okay.
Yes, single-family home. They plan to attach to the utilities that are off of, John, correct me if I'm wrong, off of the Lake Forest Parkway. And this will come back to council eventually for, John, what other steps is it going to be after this piece is approved?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. So this is, if you'll remember, we moved the escarpment to the preliminary plat, the final plat. There are no public improvements for this property, so you will not see the final plat, but that's the next step. Once this is approved, and it'll just go to P&Z like normal with the final plat. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yep. When you say there are no public improvements, that in the escarpment zone, are there any improvements like roads or sewer or water?
Yes, sir. That's the only public improvements that the city would accept as council, and nothing is proposed. It's like I said, it's a single house. All of the street, the water, the sewer, all that was created originally with Lake Forest. I believe it was phase one 20 years ago, and they're not changing any of the infrastructure for this piece of property.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm sorry to be Captain Obvious here, but so there won't be any streets or sidewalks or anything in the escarpment zone?
He'll still be required. The sidewalk ordinance that y'all passed will still be in effect for this property. But the street will be, he will access the street that's existing, Lake Forest Parkway, and then he'll have to access the water and sewer that are available at that property.
Will Stone Lake Drive be extended straight through and down into this parcel?
No streets, no anything. He'll have a drive approach for wherever he decides to put his driveway, but that is all that's been proposed on this property.
I see. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there a slide with a map?
Sorry, Mr. Hamlin. No conversation right now.
No.
Mr. Norman, the STV report indicates that it complies with all the code of ordinances for Woodways Escarpment ordinance.
Yes, sir. And this is
review that you reviewed that. And
Mitch, our genius, reviewed it. Yes,
okay,
sir.
That's right.
But yes, this follows the same guidelines that are set up in the ordinance. Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I could see in here that it complies with the ordinance. So just wanted to make sure everybody saw that. Main thing is the no build line. Nothing's gonna be built there. It's gonna be left as a forest. So
now notice this is a PUD, which means plan unit development, but there's only one house on here. Is that normal to have a PUD for one unit?
I think because of the lot lines, right? Is it because of the lot lines that it's
No, sir. This was addressed by planning and zoning at the first meeting. But yes, if it's in the best interest, planning and zoning can decide if they will allow anything less than what's recommended through the ordinance. As far as that goes, it's not normal. Yeah, PUD normally is not one lot, but all the area designated, like from here to the lake, was designated PUD prior to platting. So all the property that hasn't been platted down there has been designated in the zoning map as PUD. So as they come in, it's a little different than we're used to.
So David, it was already PUD.
So that's why.
That's why.
I just wondered because it seemed like planning unit. Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And of course, this is platted just for the one
house.
Yeah, so there's nothing that can be done unless it comes back and we have to deal with something there, correct?
Yes, sir, that's true.
So really the only thing we're talking about is this no build line, which is nothing.
He's gonna leave it like a forest.
Yeah,
he's just gonna leave it as
it's the farthest. I'm trying to word picture it for the audience the best way we can. Lake Forest kind of dead ends to Stone Lake, and this is a large piece of property, and at the very back, it almost looks like a green line. I'm not sure what the green line is, but it's almost like it would, if it's a creek or something.
That's the no-build.
Yeah, no-build line. It's basically where, and it's not very large, it looks like, and it's sounding like all we're discussing here.
Good. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Norman. Council, I will entertain a motion on item number 5, please.
I move that we accept the escarpment plan for the EHN addition PUD.
I second it.
Thank you so much. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, that was our only item for discussion and action. Moving on to our consent agenda. Consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Council, you have items 6A through C on the consent agenda. Are there any items that you'd like removed for separate discussion?
No.
I'm not seeing any. Very good. Thank you. We'll then move to item number 7, which is the consider action on the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you. Do I hear a second? Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as written. Oh, thank you. Ms. Barkley is going to be passing around the resolution. That's item 6C for all of us to sign. Councilman Suri, when it gets to you, if you would just pass it back this way. So if you all wouldn't mind taking 2 seconds and signing the resolution. And while that's making its way, Mr. Manager, we'll pass it over to you for any updates you have for us.
Okay, thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll be brief. I just have a couple of things to update you all on. Excuse me. Starting today through March 4th, we will be open here at City Hall at 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday. This will allow us to serve residents and defendants for municipal court outside the normal 8 to 5 workday. After a trial basis, we will determine if this schedule is something we'll implement permanently. But as for now, it's just posted on the doors, or if you get on the website, the city website, and you click on utility billing or municipal court, those updated hours will be there. But we kind of wanted to test the waters first and see how it works before we put it on all of our social media outlets. So that's just for your knowing. February 20th and 21st, Jennifer and myself will be a city manager clinic for our continuing education hours for TCMA and ICMA. And that's it. Other than that, just wish our good city secretary a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Sorry, I wanted to get
today, John? Today?
Oh. Right now.
It's my son's birthday, too.
She was hoping for a quick feeding. On the way to dinner.
We're going to give her that for her birthday.
About ready to roll.
One more.
And that's all, Mayor and Council. Thank you.
Could you give us those new hours again for the new operating hours, just so I have them written down?
Yes, sir. That's 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays.
On Fridays. Got it. That's great. That's really, really nice to have that extra time. Very nice of you guys.
Thank you.
Give people a chance to take care of business after they get off work, you know, so that they're not rushing over.
Brenda and her team got together and figured out a way to make it work and see if we can make it work permanently. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Get this back to Donna, please. Yes, the birthday girl.
Yes.
All right. Last item before we adjourn this evening. Any city council reports? Any updates from anybody?
Yeah. We have P&Z tomorrow night.
P&Z tomorrow night. Great.
Yeah. I have to say the youth commission meetings are consistently well attended, and it's it's interesting to see how the kids, you know, resolve certain issues and come up with innovative new ideas. You know, the only thing that could probably be improved upon is the technicalities of how one handles motions and so on and so forth. But
yeah,
other than that, they're having fun and they're doing a good thing, and it's not taking a lot of time. So
that's awesome. Great. Yeah. Thank you for being on that board.
Sure, sure.
Appreciate it. Anybody else? All right. Well, last item is to consider action on adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
It's moved and seconded. We are adjourned at 6:01 p.m. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Great meeting.